I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like this. We want to live by each other.
When one is able to repeatedly step into the purity and hardened space of genuine and heightened awareness, miracles manifest. Conscious evolution becomes inevitable, and the revelations to one's spirit becomes revolutionary within the simplicity of its own essence. Awakening then becomes of its aware the destination of such a path when one has answered to the calling, unfolds to reveal the ripening of one's universal truths. The book of positive light, remembrance of the heart.
And so welcome back to Quantum Mindfulness Radio, and I'm your host, Joel Ayala Ayapanya, registered nurse and author of my new book, The Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart. Quantum Mindfulness Radio broadcasts every other Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the BBS Radio Network. And so the topic of main focus for tonight's show embraces the holistic approach of the significance and impact of integrative medicine. And I have with me on tonight's show my very special guest, Dr. Amelia Kemp. Dr. Amelia Kemp has been a psychotherapist for over 18 years and within the private practice for 12 years. She is a board-certified alternative medical practitioner with a master's degree in mental health counseling and a non-traditional doctorate in metaphysical theology. She is a former director of mental health counseling within the school board and a former psychology instructor for two colleges. She's also a certified energy medical practitioner and possesses a ministerial ordination. Dr. Kemp can be heard on her weekly talk show entitled From Psychotherapy to Sacrotherapy on Blog Talk Radio. So thank you, Dr. Kemp, for bringing your research, your sacred practice, and this type of approach to the forefront of the mental health community. Welcome, Dr. Kemp.
Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate being here. What a lovely introduction. Thank you.
Now, Dr. Kemp, can you be able to tell us, our listeners, and to describe how it all started with you from within your practice and how you began to formulate a practice that dealt with a multi-dimensional approach?
Oh, absolutely. Well, Joel, I wrote the book From Psychotherapy to Sacrotherapy because the 8 steps in my book not only healed many of my clients, but first healed me too from my own mental and emotional diagnosis. So my personal journey from psychotherapy to sacrotherapy was not as isolated as I thought it was, because once I became a therapist, I saw that there were many me's out there, at least the me I used to be before I healed myself from anxiety and depression, using many of the aligning processes and healing exercises in the book. And even though I've been healed now for the better part of the last 2 decades from the anxiety and depression, I remembered all too well how awful it was to feel so alone and scared, thinking that I was sick and defective and would never have the happy life that I wanted to create. And worse, I couldn't figure out for the life of me what was going wrong and why me, of course. But ultimately, I created the happy, fulfilling life that I've been living now despite those early beginnings. And the way I was able to do it was that I found that the answers had to do with my thoughts versus the negative things that I call matter, the negative matters that had happened to me. And so once I realized that it was very much about the focusing of thought and those thoughts remaining in what we would call the spiritual realm, I got excited knowing that, wow, you mean that any of those bad things that happened did not have to be an indictment for my future? Things began to change, and I realized that the spiritual aspects of who I was as a person and a spiritual being greatly impacted the quality of my life. And so from there, I started to do additional research because the traditional medical model that I had sought in my own healing journey had not been enough. It was helpful, but it wasn't sustaining. And so I was looking for alternative holistic interventions that could fill in that void, and it did. And so that's when I realized that I could sustain my well-being beyond just therapy or medication, that there was something I could do for myself through my thoughts, which we call the energy basis of the matter, made the difference that ultimately made the difference. And so I wanted to share that and give my clients the option between traditional mental health counseling or holistic, which was mind, body, and spirit, because traditional only dealt with mind and body and left the spiritual aspects out. And so from there, watching and observing my clients' progress throughout the years, and many doctors would say, well, what are you doing? Because we realize when we send our patients to you, they get healed quicker. And 10 years ago, I didn't know why. I really didn't know what I was doing differently 10 years ago when I started tracking my outcomes and realized, oh, it's this holistic piece, too, that's really speeding up their healing, because it's the fullness of their being, the main eternal part, actually not being left out. And so it was a beautiful thing. And so I realized that so many people said, you need to share it with the world. So it took me 3 years to write the book and to put it all together. Yes, and so this is why what I was saying to so many of my clients that gave them immediate relief almost in the first session was that you're not sick, you're sacred. And it seemed like even just that one statement, Joel, was enough to get them to sit up a little straighter. They've come in so depleted and feeling so awful, but once they told me what they thought their diagnosis was or what they had actually been diagnosed with, and I would say, well, you know, you're not sick, you're sacred. And they'd be like, what? Say that again? And I'd say, you're not sick, you're sacred. And you may have just gone out of alignment in one area, mind, body, or spirit, but anything out of alignment can come back. And they would sit up straighter, and they'd be like, so you mean I'm not crazy? You mean I'm not defective? And I'm like, no. And that would be sort of the impetus of this newfound hope. It was like, sacred, yes. Therapy was giving people instant, I mean, many would leave a first session telling me, oh, my God, I got more out of this session than I had in 6 months of therapy.
Absolutely.
You're telling me I'm okay?
Yeah, right.
It was amazing. It was amazing. And so that's why I say that how we describe things, Joel, is so important, because the medical model describes these manifestations as disorders, whereas sacred therapy, which is my model, removes the pathology and stigma, and it helps people understand their intrinsic value and worth never changes. Because one day you're thinking you're okay, then you get labeled with this diagnosis that you've been told is a disorder, and you walk around now feeling sick and defective.
Right, it's a stigma.
And so, that's it. That's it. So we remove the stigma and pathology with sacred therapy versus psychotherapy. And so that's why I prefer the term reaction, which is cause the person to get out of alignment. Because to me, the word disorder is not consistent with the universal laws of creation, that something comes into manifestation, whether it is dis-ease, or which we as metaphysicians hyphenate the word disease. We don't call it disease. We say dis-ease. Or whether it's well-being. And so a reaction is more closer to being in alignment with that, because a reaction shows that it's temporary, that something triggered that, something summoned it from a person for it to be that case. And if it was something that they were born with, then I call that a divine intention, that the soul came forth deciding to live part of its journey or all of its journey with this particular matter, oftentimes to demonstrate that it's more than just its mind and body, that it's mind, body, and spirit. So, which is why I say to people, you're not sick, you're sacred, advocating that the normative curve needs to stop putting people in these boxes, and that it needs to be expanded and inclusive of all human experience, because that's how disorders are created. We have in mental health and physical health too, but in mental health, this normative curve that decides, okay, over here we're going to slam a line and this is too much, and then over here we're going to slam a line and that's too little. So anything that's been where the lines that these people have drawn and they're deciding this is too much and this is too little, those get called disorders. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, though. If the human experience is being lived beyond the borders of all of this, who are we to decide where the lines go? Obviously, a soul comes forth with its own divine intention, so don't say that's too much and don't say that's too little. It's
exactly.
All inclusive.
Exactly, absolutely.
It's inclusive. Right. Exactly, exactly. So that's where the release is coming for so many who are reading the book and going through the steps. And, of course, relief is the cure that all healers are seeking, mind, body, or spirit. And so everybody wants to feel better. No one wants to feel that they're disconnected from the source and the creator of their being. And so when they get that clarity back that there isn't a disconnection and that this alignment that I talk about in the book can be restored if it was broken in the first place. And those souls who come forth with something like Asperger's or something like that, where they were born with this, and I give them a beautiful reinterpretation, since I've reinterpreted all 170 of them, it helps them to now realign with their intention that it's okay, and that as far as I'm concerned, they're modeling for so many of us emotional self-sufficiency. But in a society where people are being told that they're so codependent that they can't do anything by themselves and that everybody has to constantly be so social with one another, they look at someone who's enjoying their own company as, you know, what's wrong with you?
Exactly.
Versus, wow, this is an example of emotional self-sufficiency. At least it could be looked at that way.
Mm-hmm.
These souls didn't come forth to conform and to comply with the box that we've decided is this normative curve I was talking about. And so it's such a beauty. The journey from psychotherapy to sacred therapy for most people, and all of the testimonies that I've gotten, and some on my website if anybody wants to read any of those, it's been relief inducing, that people are just feeling so good about who they are and not thinking that they're sick and defective anymore. And that's what I was hoping for when I wrote the book, so that people can know that their connection to the source has not been injured at all, and that anything that's gone out of alignment can actually come back through the 8 steps that I use in my book. And I'm sure there'll be other integrative models that people can also use, but mine, fortunately, seems to be the first that's done this work. And as you and I were talking in the break, Louise Hay did something very similar for physical health. And I loved her work and honor her and so many other pioneers in my acknowledgement sections of the book, because I stand on the shoulders of giants in this field of holistic and alternative healing. And so one of my specialties was chronic illness in my private practice, and I used her book, You Can Heal Your Body, so often. But when it came to mental health, she listed 14 of the mental health ones, and since there are 170 of them, many times I ended up having to create what I felt was the symbolic meaning of it, which is where the re-description of all of the 170 diagnoses come from. We use it from symbolic meaning, like Dr. Bernie Siegel did, even with cancer patients. He's an oncologist. He even asked his patients, look at, what does this represent? What is the meaning? And when we talk about meaning, of course, we're back to philosophy, which is the spiritual realm. And so my definitions or re-descriptions of each diagnosis will give people who've been diagnosed a holistic way of viewing their symptomology that's more in alignment and feels closer to their soul and spirit, and that's what we're aiming for there. And so I went ahead and did all 170 of them, and most of my clients would say, yeah, this feels right, this sounds right, this feels good, and they were able to go from there.
Right.
You know, yeah, you know.
You are so right. Absolutely right, Dr. Kemp.
Yes.
Now, you have made mention of your own particular philosophy.
Yeah,
In your own sacred practice within our conversation. And from the many other portions of your book as well. And of course, with philosophy comes the integration of science to the process of healing and in recovery. And this is the medical model, per se, our Western medical model. But when you incorporate spirituality into the equation, per se, it completely adds an entirely different and more profound dimension to the whole entire experience. And in Western medicine, we exclude the spiritual component. The focus is only on the chemical brain and in the chemical body. When in all actuality, there is such a strong and integral relationship between all three, or four for that matter, the philosophical, our belief systems, the science, and in the spiritual. In psychiatry, Dr. Kemp,
yes,
as you know from your many, many years of experience, we often view it, the spiritual component, as being religious and spiritual preoccupation. And I'll say it again, as religious and spiritual preoccupation, which is professionally a standard and common characteristic of mental illness. But to the contrary of what you and I believe, spirituality is such a predominant predictor of a much more healthier prognosis to the overall health and healing of our clients.
You're hitting it right there, Joel, because I call it the metaphysics of physics, and that's why each step in my book uses the word matter, because I wanted to bring in that scientific piece. And matter, of course, can be solid, liquid, or gas. And like gas, our thoughts are also invisible, but we know that they're there because we're thinking them. But gas is invisible, but we know it's there because you're smelling it. Oxygen's invisible, but you know it's there because you're breathing it. And our thoughts remain in that invisible realm, which is the non-physical spiritual realm. So when we're talking about, when I say I get to the energy basis of the matter, most human beings say to each other, hey, what's the matter? And we're asking a profound question and not even realizing it. But that matter is not just the sociological aspects that a person is confronted with or their psychology, but it's that energy basis of the matter there. And energy, a lot of New Age people will say, you know, everything's energy, but many times they're saying it in a very flippant way and people don't really understand what we mean when we say, when I say the energy basis, I'm talking about the capacity of a physical system to perform a task, that being the amount of heat or light or radiation or power being released or absorbed as what we call vital essence or life force. And so the energy basis of each of the diagnoses that I have transcribed relates to the divine essence or life force being that spirituality. Einstein taught that energy cannot be created or destroyed, but only transferred. So we're always only either recharging it or dispersing it. And so that's why I say anything that's gone out of alignment can come back, because that's that recharging, that rejuvenation process with energy. Yes. And so, yes, transformation like water into ice. These are what we're talking about. And so the same matter is demonstrated when it comes to our thoughts. And so our thoughts are so important, especially in mental and emotional wellness, because what we think matters, and I mean that literally, it manifests into something. It turns into matter.
Absolutely.
And so the meaning that we are attached, everyone's life experience is being lived based on their beliefs. And so what we believe about ourselves and the things that are happening in our individual experiences determines the quality of our life. So if I believe I'm sick and defective, I will think thoughts that trigger brain chemistry that make me feel badly. So I'm going to secrete cortisol, sodium lactate, and adrenaline and feel awful. But if I believe that I'm not sick, that I'm sacred, then I'm going to begin to think thoughts that trigger serotonin and release the natural healing endorphins in the brain to make me feel good. So our beliefs are like, I say, our beliefs are like clothes, because we live our lives in them. And like clothes, our beliefs can be changed, they can be ironed out, they can be washed out, they can be thrown out altogether if they no longer fit. And so meaning and how we describe and interpret things is crucial. And I think that's why it's been so many profound first sessions over, this is my 19th year now, and it never fails that when a client chooses the holistic path, in that first session, it's amazing. I almost wish I could take before and after pictures within 50 minutes because they come in one way. I'm seriously, they come in one way, so dejected feeling. And then before the halfway through that session, once they hear that line, you're not sick, you're sacred. And I explain matter and I give them this understanding of the fullness of who they are. That reinterpretation of it, they sit up straighter. They have a light in their eye that may have been dimmed for many, many weeks, months, or years that is restored instantly. It's just amazing. It's amazing to me. And when you talk about science, the research, I love Valerie Hunt's work out at UCLA because she has demonstrated that the only reason we haven't been able to measure the spiritual aspects or this energy basis that we're talking about is because research currently uses the Euclidean geometry system. And it just isn't able to deal with subtle matter. But energy is subtle matter. It's that spiritual basis. I guess we just haven't gotten sophisticated enough to be able to analyze God. But the bottom line is it exists. It's there. So when, you know, the research is in the relief that my clients have. You know, I don't have instruments that I can hand over a bunch of papers and have it shown on a graph yet. But I see it in the quality of clients' lives being restored and the joy that they know that now they came forth to live is possible, and I see them come back into alignment with the fullness of that spirit base. It is so fascinating, so wonderful that, you know, it's just it's really incredible because it's incredible to them too, because once they realize that a thought did this, that their well-being is one thought away, it just blows them away too, because most of us grew up with people saying, oh, just think positive. But nobody really helped us understand how to do that. What do you mean think positive? It's not like a bunch of positive thinking crapola. But when we get to the energy basis of it and we realize, oh my God, it really is my thought. And once they understand it, they understand that a thought is that spiritual base. And in my book, I show diagrams hoping that people will understand that their brain chemistry and their mind is two different things. So the medical model, I think the ancients actually had it right when they defined psyche as the study of the soul or universal mind. But doctors ended up thinking mind is brain chemistry, so they started focusing everything on the brain and brain chemistry, not understanding that that brain is plugged into that universal mind that some of us call God or creator or source or source energy or whatever you want, but all of it's the same thing.
Dr. Kemp, you have just hit it right there on the spot.
Yeah,
funny that you say this, for it reminds me exactly with my conversation just a few weeks back with Dr. Carl Johan Kalaman, author of his book, The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization, where he had talked in detail to exactly what you had made mention here.
Yeah.
The human intellect and the chemical portion of things with our physical brains are one thing. But on the other hand, there is the global mind, our global mind, or perhaps the universal mind of things.
Yeah,
our global and
yeah.
integrative consciousness, which is indeed plugged into what we can freely call divinity, to source, to God, the universe. And this is our spiritual connection as a significant and dignified portion to the human experience, for which Western medicine has excluded entirely in practice medically, emotionally, and psychiatrically for the treatment of patients and people, for that matter, who are searching for a resolution for the physical and mental ailments, far beyond just exclusively related to just the chemical resolution of things. And this is exactly why the work that you do, and in the work that many of us do, who are strong components of integrative medicine, are integral contributors to this more holistic approach to the mental health community. And I thank you dearly for your work, Dr. Kemp.
Yes.
For bringing on in this heightened awareness to the forefront of mental health. And so, Dr. Kemp, for our listeners, can you please provide links for your website and then how we can purchase your book and then how we can listen on in to your show, From Psychotherapy to Psychotherapy, on Blog Talk Radio?
Yes, absolutely. The name of the book is From Psychotherapy to Psychotherapy, 170 Alternative Descriptions and Healing Processes for Mental and Emotional Diagnosis Worldwide. But the short answer to that, you can find it by just looking at From Psychotherapy to Psychotherapy. And you can get it on Amazon.com, or you can go to my website at DrAmeliaKemp.com. That's DrAmeliaKemp.com.
And so when we continue on with the second segment of tonight's broadcast, we will further our conversation with Dr. Amelia Kemp, author of her new book, From Psychotherapy to Psychotherapy, on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.
BBSRadio.com, radio that transcends the third dimension. BBSRadio.com embraces the fourth dimension, promotes natural alternative health, spreads joy. BBSRadio.com. Free energy, spirituality, honesty and truth. BBSRadio.com. Increase the vibration of the people and the planet. BBSRadio.com.
You're listening to BBS Radio. An internet radio experience of truth, harmony, beauty. From your family at BBS Radio, have yourself a beautiful day.
Hi, this is Christoph Goes on BBS Radio, where you can check tracks from my new album, Turning Inside. Because if it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
And now we are back to Quantum Mindfulness Radio. And I do have with me for tonight's show, Dr. Amelia Kemp, as we are talking about her new book, From Psychotherapy to Psychotherapy. So welcome back, Dr. Kemp. And now for the sake of our listeners, I would love to go through the 8 steps of your book. And if we could do so, if we can go through the steps, possibly through one or more of the most common diagnoses.
Oh, absolutely. That's wonderful. I can do that. What I'd like to do in going through the 8 steps is actually even use an example of one of the diagnoses that help people follow through with the steps. And so for confidentiality, naturally, I changed the name. So I usually use fruit. So let's just call this person Apple.
All right.
Okay. Apple was diagnosed with depression. And as she began step one in the book, she realized that there were answers to step one being called what's the matter beyond the traditional way of seeing her life circumstances and symptoms by adding the holistic, spiritual, and metaphysical explanations that got to what I called earlier the energy basis of what had manifested in her life. And so step one for her was really understanding what's that matter. Then as she moved to step two, Apple was able to reframe the matter, which is the name of that step, reframing the matter, as we defined her diagnosis and gave her a quick daily process that helped her to begin to realign with the fullness of her body, mind, body, and spirit. And then in step three, she learned how the matter in her life manifested in order to prevent recreating and returning to those old patterns using the holistic exercises, where she began releasing those social taboos and stigma that we talked about earlier. And then in step four, which I call witnessing the heart of the matter, she became reacquainted with her authentic self, which she, like so many, thought was lost. Now, in a branch of psychology called existentialism, authenticity is meaning the degree to which a person owns and honors their true personality, spirit, character, despite any external pressures of from outside forces, whether it be parents, society, church, or state. They're able to be their authentic self. So she recalled that in step four and was able to also transmute any anger or rage that she experienced into an aligned place of sacred rage during the witnessing, because so many people are upset thinking that they lost time. They're so happy to know that they're not sick and that they're sacred, but then they start recounting. She was upset about how much time she lost. She would say what most say, if she had known this 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago, her whole life would have been different. So sometimes they go through some anger and rage, but we're able to bring it back into a place of sacred rage where they understand they have this now moment. And once she got back into her now, she was at peace. And then we got to step five, where she learned how to stay clear of the matter, which is the name of that step, where she fortified her resolve to fully release those old mental sets that caused that toxic energy in the first place. And she released the perception of being a victim and began making the shift to accepting that she was, in fact, a well-being by divine right and had always been, and had just gotten out of alignment a little bit and now was coming back into alignment. And then she moved into step six, which is what I call procreation, a whole new matter, where Apple began to hone her ability to create the life she always wanted to live, with the new belief now that she could actually do it. And this is such an exciting step for everybody, because now they know they can do it. And as a result, the peace of mind, along with the other real life joyful experiences, continue to manifest. I mean, it's no longer just a thought. It's manifesting in their life. They see it, and Apple is such an example of that. So and now, then at that point...
Right. So now at that point, it becomes a reality. We have essentially, or Apple had considerably changed her perceptions and provided, in addition to that, a reality and a realization of self-empowerment.
Absolutely. That's it. It's almost a quantum leap, because
yes,
from the standpoint that it happened so quickly, it's still incremental, but compared to most of my clients came in with whatever they had been going on, and they'd been suffering with it for years, some even decades. And so in my book, for them to change their whole way of seeing themselves and their lives and tap into that empowerment in a matter of 6 or 7 months, that's so fast compared to having lived their life so long. So it looks like a quantum leap, because that is speeding up of time. And so once they get to that point, they're now ready for step seven, which is what I call entering that inner sanctuary, where she recognized that her alignment with her mind, body, and spirit had actually been achieved. And she, like so many, began to overflow with gratitude and appreciation for having arrived and for having survived and for now having thrived. And they now become beacons of light and inspiration for others. They
right.
can't wait to get the word out. They
exactly.
can't wait to get the word out. It's just amazing. And then the only thing left after that is step eight, which is aftercare, which I call staying aligned, where she and all the others that journey from psychotherapy to sacred therapy now want to maintain their realignment through the 12 additional practices that I suggest in there. So it's really a beautiful process, but because conditioning, one of the steps that I talked about on conditioning and the means, when we talked about how the matter manifested, getting rid of those, they're so insidious because they've been so habituated in a person's life that it's easy for something to summon that from them again. And so the aftercare step becomes a lifestyle. It's something that they stay cognizant of, that they want to maintain their alignment with their mind, body, and spirit and recognize the energy basis of things, and that's how they do it. And so, and you said, do I have time to maybe give two little vignettes maybe?
Oh, yes, definitely, for sure.
Okay, so like apple, let's just say grape. Grape, for instance, was a professional from New York, but suffered with anxiety and was going along just to get along, scared to death underneath, and picked up a copy of my book, actually from a radio show. This is someone who called me, and finally found something that described what was happening to her in a way that reduced her fear of panic attacks. Now, once she understood my retake on her symptoms from a place of symbolic meaning and got to that energy basis of the matter where she started doing that aligning process along with those eight sacred steps that I just described, her panic attack stopped. And she is now the confident, at-ease woman that she wanted to be. I mean, it's amazing because she just said, what I offer are sacred therapy, life coaching, consults, because as a psychotherapist, I can only treat and diagnose in the state of Florida. So I became a certified professional life coach because people all over the world were wanting sometimes to ask me a question or get a second opinion from me so that I could have the freedom to do that. So she's someone who called me from New York wanting one of those life coaching sessions. And only three of those, she was amazed because she said she had been having panic attacks for years and had not missed 1 week, as far as she was concerned, of her life for the last 2 years were not without panic attacks. And here in 3 weeks of doing these processes, she told me she hadn't had a panic attack, and she just couldn't believe it. She was just too through with how in the world could that be. And she just could not understand it. And so it was amazing to her that she was not having that. And I told her, I said, it's not meant necessarily work in three consults, but she understood the spiritual part that was missing so much out of her treatment. And she devoured the book literally, to the point that it made such sense to her, and that she realized that she had the ability to control and direct her thinking, and that she was able to release that fear of the panic attack once she understood the brain chemistry of it, that, oh, I'm going into the fight or flight mode, which I describe in my book,
right,
and realized that she didn't have to anymore. It was life-altering and the relief for her. So that was her. And then This guy, let's call him Grapefruit. Grapefruit, he is someone that just touches my heart so much, because in his situation, he wasn't getting everything out of life that he wanted either. And he was just about ready to give up when he heard my interview on a radio show similar to this. And something triggered in him to go ahead and get a copy of the book. Actually, he wanted the CD. He said he wasn't even believing that the book would help him, but he liked the idea of getting a free CD if he bought the book. So he said, well, let me go ahead and try it. And to his amazement, he had been diagnosed, by the way, with bipolar. Well, actually, schizoaffective disorder, which is a mixture of bipolar and schizophrenia.
Yes.
And he had been told that he would be on medication the rest of his life, and he had been told naturally that he got too happy or too sad and needed to stay within a smaller range of emotion. And so he began to panic every time he felt that he was getting a little bit too overly joyful about life, which made him get really depressed because he felt like life seemed boring without those high moments that he looked forward to. And so he was always in a state of anxiety, like, oh no, I can't get too happy, I can't get too, he didn't know what to do with himself. And so he said when he read my take on schizophrenia and schizoaffective and bipolar, the relief, the instant, he told me, it was instant relief because he felt like finally a therapist is saying to me that this is not without, this isn't outside the box, that it should have been inclusive in the first place, that who are we to say when something's too this or too much or too little, and that I showed him how to find the middle way without feeling shame or fear of those other extremes and emotions. And so once he started realizing, wow, finding the middle way was easier. He didn't feel life would be boring anymore. He understood that he could embrace the exhilaration of that moment beyond the confounds of the mundane and also enjoy the middle way, which was preventing him from dropping so low into a depression of, well, life's just boring. And so it's just amazing, and that gets back to what we started the interview with, that description and interpretation of something, how we view it, the meaning we attach to it, because the meaning for all his life that had been attached to it was that you're sick, you're defective, this is not right. And to finally get a book, I mean, the day, I mean, he was in tears when he called me, just thanking me. He's like, you know, where was this information? And he's 62. Where was this information when he was 30, when he was diagnosed with this? And, it, you know, he said his whole life would have been different. And it just touched me so much, you know, when people tell me those stories, because it is life-altering. How we describe things matter, literally. They turn into matter. They manifest into people's lives, and it affects the quality of their life, and that we need to stop the labeling. We need to stop the stigma and the pathology, and that's why my book depathologizes it. I remove that pathology so that people can understand that they are healthy, whole, and complete, and that they can come back into alignment, that something took them out of there, and that they can learn these tools through these 8 steps and come back into the fullness of their being. So it's such a beautiful process. It really is. And I'm not just saying it because I wrote the book. I lived it too because I was out there. It's what brought me back. And it's brought so many of my clients back that it's, right. You know, I don't. It's amazing.
Now, Dr. Kemp, I am just like in total awe. Everything that I wanted to say, I really don't even have to mention or exclaim for that matter, because you are just saying it. You are saying it just for yourself, and I am just going to have to let you ride with it, riding this wave of passion. But just as an observation and an examination of your own story, as I have listened to it, you had to go through a significant amount of healing yourself. And because I believe spirituality, that in order to help other people, especially in this line of work that we do, especially in psychiatry and in mental health, our approach within the medical community, according to the Western medical model, it just plainly does not meet the many elements of the human psyche in a more holistic and integrative manner. But when you yourself have utilized your approach, with your approach and the many others of whom are the proponents of this approach and of whom apply this more beneficial and efficient application, there is more of a connection to the potentialities and possibilities to the healing process, as opposed to the probabilities and in the limitations. Again, when we are more than able to heal ourselves from within, the bulk of our truest realities are more able and liable to come to manifest into its healing creation. The Book of Positive Light chronicles the story of one's life, his struggles, his defeat, and upon the likes of his own triumphs. How is one to know of one's light unless the one is to know truthfully of his or her own limitations within the darkness? The Book of Positive Light portrays and enshrines the alchemy of one's potentiality, and surpassing the limitations and in conjuring the truth to one's capacity to create beyond the leaps and bounds of ultimate manifestation. Douglas Ross Hamilton, author of The Mystery of the Serpent Mound, exclaims, "The Book of Positive Light is a journeyman's guide to grasping the import of acquiring the inner light." Dr. Amelia Kemp, author of her own book, From Psychotherapy to Psychotherapy, raves, "The Book of Positive Light honors the diversity of spiritual traditions and universal truths, as it graciously opens the author to self, as he is more than willing and more than able to teach and is willing to be taught. He uncovers the healer within." To purchase the Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart, you can visit the book's official website at www.thebookofpositivelight.com. Again, that is www.thebookofpositivelight.com.
I love everything you just said there, because I see myself as a bridge, bridging the gap between both science, being both a scientist and metaphysician, whereas there are extremists on both sides of the paradigms. And so since I've been trained in both sides, I point out that there's a thread sewn through the fabric of holism that is inclusive of all of it. So what I add to the conversation, I think, in terms of the field, is my unique ability to break down those metaphysical principles and terminology in a way that fortifies mental and emotional health specifically. And I think having a metaphysical and spiritual principles, those principles validated by a licensed psychotherapist for consumers experiencing mental and emotional diagnosis really, really matter to them, so that they can see. Because many have told me, well, my pastor tried to tell me everything was okay, but he was just a pastor, and so it was hard to believe. But you're a therapist, and you're saying I really am sacred, and that it, so it fortified what they were hearing over there. They needed
yes.
to hear it.
A validation. Yes.
It was validation, and so it truly is. And my heart goes out to everyone diagnosed, especially those who've had to be hospitalized. I was hospitalized for 3 weeks of my life back
right.
then. And it was so important. And I didn't know any of this kind of knowledge back then. That was, you know, I'm 50 plus now, but that was in my early 20s. But I do remember saying to a lady who said to me, we were sitting in that ward, and she said, "Well, I guess we're crazy." And I looked at her and I said, "We're not crazy, we're sad." And I remember that so emphatically.
Right.
I knew it even then. No, we were just, because I knew I wasn't crazy, I was sad. And so that was amazing to me, that thought came back. Did I hang up on you again accidentally?
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay, yeah. I don't see the screen anymore. I'm like,
okay.
Oh. So, but in any case, that did it. And here it is all these years later that it's just a very interesting thing. And so if I visit a client, and because Baker acting people and all of that is the last, the extreme of something, you know, I use most least restrictive environment when helping someone who's further out of alignment than others, which is why I have an alignment scale in the book, showing people, you know, from alignment to severely misaligned so that they can see where they are from a thought point of view. But it's such a healing process when we bring and bridge all of what the Creator has given us, even with herbal remedies. I mean, many of my colleagues said, "You're really going to put in your book that it's okay to use that. You know they're going to, you know, throw the book at you and may even take your license away." And I said, "Well, that's okay. I have to live my truth, because
right.
the natural path honors the circle of life, and as such, it's often preferred by many because of the result of that reverence and perceived compatibility with the body temple." And so I feel herbal remedies have not earned their due respect in mental health field, because most mental health professionals just simply aren't trained in alternative healing modalities, much less herbal remedies. So, but my coursework in herbal remedies is what helped me to decide to put it in the book, because I know personally it helped, and I saw how it was helping clients. And when countries like Germany use St. John's wort as the leading choice of intervention for mild to moderate depression, that validates the utility of it as well. And so I think that for mild to moderate symptomology, it can be very effective. Now, for more severe, a psychotropic is indicated. So I believe that both can be helpful, but I think people should be given the choice without minimizing either of them. So I see myself as a bridge, because I don't feel there are some people in the holistic community who think the medical model is a bunch of crap. And there are people in the medical model who think that this holistic stuff's a bunch of crap.
Right.
But I say to both sides, well, wait a minute, folks. I see that this is a part of the whole, and that each of these things have a place in the healing process. And so I honor each of them and feel that we should be selecting it in the treatment plan based on the individual needs of each soul that's come forth. And so there are a small number of psychiatrists and physicians that are openly embracing what is termed as integrative care, which is that blending of both the Western and Eastern modality, since Eastern healthcare has always practiced holism. And some are embracing quantum medicine as well. And so I love knowing that that is existing out there, that I'm not a lone breed out here. And so I love that that's happening. I just am stating that in the overall, it's so many more that are not that. And so we're the minority, unfortunately.
Oh, yes, big
so
time.
Much more advocacy needs to be. And I think books like mine, and I'm hoping to convert other mental health people. And many, when I sent the book out for peer review to some colleagues, they agreed with it and were impressed by it. Many have been utilizing it with some of their clients as well, even though I wrote the book for the clients, but many therapists have been using some of the 8 steps. But because of the fear of these boxes, some, you know, I couldn't even acknowledge them when I was going to acknowledge people. They didn't want, they're like closet integrative holistic people. They didn't want their names out there until it's sanctioned by, you know, the powers that be. And so I understood that, you know, they, you know, I'm sort of being the, you know, sacrificial lamb out here. Let's see what happens to her person. See if they allow her to keep practicing.
Right.
And then we'll follow along, you know, that type of thing. But it's okay. I feel that it's true. And I know that what I've observed and had the privilege of seeing with so many clients over these years, it's just been incredible. And just the relief of the people who've embraced it so far, because it takes time to get the word out, but those who have found out about the book using the 8 steps, which is what my radio show is all about. It was only created to support the 8 steps. And so it's not like this format. I'm not interviewing anyone. I just basically go, it's 24 exercises in the book, and 2 or 3 in each step. And so I go through that each week. We're now on step 6, so it's already 24 archive podcasts for anyone who purchases the book to utilize in conjunction, because some people are auditory learners, so reading it is one way, but hearing it's another. And so
oh, yes.
I give chunks of the book on each show to help fortify that particular step, because I realize I am a pioneer right now. It's not a lot of places to go and find out about sacred therapy, but I will be certifying mental health professionals as sacred therapists, certified sacred therapists, as well as clergy, because I feel the mental health people have missed the spiritual aspects and the clergy has missed the mental health aspects. And so it will be 2 separate trainings for those, and most of it, we're trying to come up with an online certification as a CEU, a certified continuing education unit for those who want it. And naturally, clergy can't get CEUs, but they can become educators, sacred therapy educators.
Yes, for sure.
Yes, and so I'm looking forward to what's going to happen with this over time, and I'm asking any mental health professionals as well as the end users, which are the clients, to send me their outcomes. I'm sort of adding it to a, what I call a psychotherapy research database, because I do want to follow this as it's going out into the world in the mainstream now.
Yes, I for one would love to sign up for those CEUs, since I'm a registered nurse myself in the mental health community. So but please definitely shoot that information to me.
Oh yeah, for sure. I would be honored to have you representing this work, because people like you already understand it. So it's just a matter of it. So thank you for that. I'll make sure that when we get that started, you're number one on my list.
Thank you so much.
We've gotten several. Several are interested, and so it's just a matter, and even a college has contacted me wanting to add it to their naturopath curriculum, and so I just don't have time to be an adjunct right now to teach it, but I love the fact that that type of interest has been coming across my desk.
Now, Dr. Kemp, as we near our last 2 minutes for this broadcast, can you be able to relay to our listeners your contact information, the works that you are planning to execute within the next many months or years, and your website,
okay,
and also with your Blog Talk Radio?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that. First of all, I can be contacted on my website, which is DrAmeliaKemp.com. That's DrAmelia, A-M-E-L-I-A, Kemp, K-E-M-P.com. And I have the one-on-one psychotherapy life coaching for anyone outside of the state of Florida who may want to just get a second opinion on what's going on with them, through some life coaching. And I do describe on that page the difference between life coaching and psychotherapy, because there is a difference. So be sure to read that distinction, because what I love about life coaching for anyone wanting a life coaching consult is that I believe the true therapist is within. That is that spirit basis for me. And so psychotherapy fortifies that, so I don't see it as a conflict, but it's not psychotherapy. So I want to be clear on that, that I would not be your psychotherapist through the phone or through Skyping, but I would be giving you life coaching consults. Secondly, is the radio show that we talked about a minute ago on Blog Talk Radio, which is aired each Tuesday at 10 p.m., and it's only about the 8 steps. And once we finish all the 8 steps, they'll always be there available for anyone to go back and listen to those. And at that point, I'm debating about how to change the format and maybe have wonderful people like Joel that I will be having more conversations that are into the integrative movement to fortify the sacred therapy process. That's probably where I'll go. And next, we have Facebook. Each week, I do try to, that's Facebook at Dr. Amelia Kemp. I put up a little poster each week from the radio show, which is actually from the book, of course, of just one or two sentences that are motivational, that inspire you to continue your work. So it's a little poster each week for that. That you can download and send to your friends or put in your house just as reminders. I try to make them pretty with some graphic art. And other than that, as far as what I'm doing, I will be speaking. I just got the honor a couple weeks ago that Jack Canfield, who was featured on the documentary called The Secret, and of course he wrote the Chicken for the Soul series,
yes,
I'll be speaking with him on a panel of 8 in California, October 17th through the 19th on the Queen Mary ship there. So all of that's on my Facebook page, and that's in Long Beach, California in October.
And yes, Dr. Kemp, I thank you once more so dearly for taking the time from out of your busy schedule to converse with me about your book, your practice, and in the spiritual work that you do. Dr. Amelia Kemp,
absolutely,
author of her inspirational and motivational self-help book, From Psychotherapy to Psychotherapy, Alternative Holistic Descriptions and Healing Processes for Over 170 Mental and Emotional Diagnoses Worldwide. And you can also catch her weekly informative talk show, From Psychotherapy to Psychotherapy, on blogtalkradio.com. you had missed this show or any other previous broadcasts, please visit us at Quantum Mindfulness Radio's official website at www.quantummindfulnessradio.com. Again, that is www.quantummindfulnessradio.com. All previous and prior broadcasts are archived at the BBS Radio Network. Please join us every other Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the BBS Radio Network. Again, I thank you once more for joining me here tonight on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.